Hey everyone, welcome to My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. This is episode 32 for those of you keeping track at home, and I want to thank you as always for listening, downloading, and sharing, whether it's through iTunes, jerrymonkey.com, Stitcher, or poddirectory.com, the fine folks over there hooking us up as well with a feed. But thank you, as always, for listening and sharing. And this episode, we're going to be talking to Dasher Hatfield, who is with Chikara Pro. And Chikara Pro, of course, is a promotion that Chad and I talk about quite often, not only on this podcast, but on the my123cents.com blog. They've got kind of their own thing going on there, and it's a lot of fun. And Dasher and I get into a conversation about not only what Chikara is, but also some of the big upcoming events, including the show on July 25th called Storming the Castle, where he will be taking his team, Dasher's Dugout, into battle against the Gentlemen's Club. And we'll also talk about the King of Trios tournament, which is something that has kind of defined Chikara Pro, really. And I'm still kind of a newbie fan, even though I have been watching for a few years. I do check them out at chikarapro.com, or of course on all the social media outlets as well. And I've, of course, had gentleman Jervis Cottonbelly on the show as well on my 1-2-3 Cents the podcast, and I'm actually sitting here rambling because I'm trying to buy time. Here it is, episode 20. I was trying to find exactly what episode he's on, and actually episode 20, one of the most listened to episodes here on the my 1-2-3 Cents podcast. So check that out. Of course, it was a big weekend, and not only for professional wrestling but for this country. Saturday marked Independence Day, so I hope you had some fun and shot off maybe some fireworks and had a good time. Also, Sunday was the birthday of the Jittery Monkey Network founder, Greg Mahochko. So Greg, a big shout out to you and a happy birthday. He does a great job over at Nerds United, the podcast there about comic books and a lot more there. So I encourage you to check him out as well at jitterymonkey.com and just look for Nerds United. And he's got a new show up too that came up late last week. So check out all the shows here at the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. It is jitterymonkey.com. And I alluded to some big action in the world of professional wrestling. Beast in the East emanated live from Japan on July 4th morning. Well, morning here for us. It was, of course, in the afternoon over in Japan. But at 4:30 Central Time, which is where this show is recorded, you could have gotten up and watched. I did not get up that early to watch. I did watch on delay. I thought it was a pretty good show. I like that the WWE is doing things like this. It gives, you know, it takes it outside the regular pay-per-view. It keeps it a little more concise, a little tighter. There's not a lot of the vignettes or backstage stuff going on. At least I didn't notice any of that stuff. It was a very down and dirty show. I think we had five matches. I'm looking at my list here. It looks like five. Of course, it was Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston was kind of the, you know, the Beast in the East was alluding to Brock Lesnar. Although, you know, that match went exactly the way I thought it would, and of course the New Day came out and kind of got destroyed by Brock as well. This was a big deal, though, because it's Brock's first match back since WrestleMania, and he is said to be on Raw as well this week. If you're listening to this show when it drops on Monday, July 6th, sometime in the evening hours, you'll see Brock on Raw, followed by a special on the American Dream Dusty Rhodes on the WWE Network. And this will be my first week without Raw, doing some changes around here at the house and got rid of our satellite provider, because really all I was ever watching was Raw once a week. But I'll save some money here and hopefully add to the WrestleMania kitty and be able to watch the highlights and watch what's going on and still stay informed with what's happening on Raw. I'm not going to talk about all of Beast in the East, but I will say this. I'm hoping that you have watched it by now, and if not, well, go ahead and pause it now until we get to the interview with Dasher Hatfield. Finn Balor is your new NXT champion. That was an outstanding match against Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, of course, you know, heading, I guess, presumably to the main roster to continue the feud, the rivalry with John Cena. I'd be curious to see what happens in their United States Championship match now coming up at Battleground in just a few weeks, emanating from St. Louis, Missouri, my hometown, by the way. And the other match I wanted to talk about briefly, and we'll get more into Finn Balor here soon on the My 123 Cents blog, but also I wanted to talk about Neville and Jericho. They opened the show, and I was really surprised with the outcome of that. I thought it was a great match. My second favorite match, next to the Balor-Owens match. I was surprised that Neville lost, quite honestly. I thought that this was going to be kind of a stepping stone for him with Jericho, but I suspect that we're going to see more of these two because they did put on such a great match, and Jericho, of course, is back for the summer, his little summer tour, if you will. So I'll be curious to see what is next for these two because, like I said, they put on one hell of a match as far as I'm concerned. I am going to talk more to soon, not today, about the whole situation going on with some of these lawsuits against the WWE, and that the WWE, I think, is doing some countersuing as well over concussions and whatnot. We'll dig deeper into that on the My 123 Cents blog as well. Again, that is my123cents.com. But without any further ado, let's get to Dasher Hatfield. And once again, thanks for listening to My 123 Cents.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 123 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
I've said it before, I will say it again. I think that Chikara Pro is, without a doubt, the most underrated wrestling company out there today. There's a lot of fans who maybe have learned about it through the blog my123cents.com. I know Chad is an avid fan and actually brought me to Chikara Pro back probably about 4 years ago. So I appreciate him exposing me to that, and I am very happy and honored to have one of my personal favorites from the Chikara Pro roster on today, Dasher Hatfield. And Dasher, thanks for joining the podcast today.
Oh, you're so kind there, sir. Thanks for having me. It's great to be on. Thanks for always, you know, sharing all that wrestling knowledge you have all over the internet and spreading the word and fighting a good fight, helping us out there at Chikara Pro.
And you've been involved with Chikara Pro since, I believe it was August of 2009 you made your debut, is that right?
Absolutely, sir. Young Lions Cup.
Tell me a little bit about what brought you into the world of professional wrestling and what it was about Chikara Pro that attracted you as well.
I guess when I first decided that pro wrestling was going to be the thing for me, like, all I really wanted to find was, you know, like, special company in wrestling. Throughout the 90s, I'd have been a huge fan of ECW, despite all the blood and guts and all those things, but it was just the energy that was brought about by all the fans was what I really loved. And so my goal, like, unlike a lot of guys, I guess, a lot of guys' goal is to wrestle in Japan or wrestle for Vince or do all these other things. My goal was just to find that company that kind of brought that out of the fans. And I 100% believe that I found that company, and I've got that for the home here, and it's where I plan to stay for the foreseeable future.
There's so much talent on that roster who, not only now, but even before, that have gone on and done other things in the business. You have a great chemistry, I think, with Mr. Touchdown as the throwbacks. I have enjoyed your work, and I know that the two of you held the, and I always say the name of the championship wrong, my Spanish isn't as good as it used to be, the Campeonatos de Parejas.
You got it. That's
okay. Well, I minored in Spanish like 20 years ago, so I use it very rarely. But anyway, you guys, as that, you know, as that tag team held those championships, and now you're also the, I guess it's safe to say, the team leader of Dasher's Dugout.
I guess I'm the leader.
Yeah, and the challenge of the Immortals. So tell me a little bit about your relationship with Mr. Touchdown, and the other members of Dasher's Dugout, which include the former Grand Champion Icarus and Heidi Lovelace.
Well, Touchdown's my step-cousin-in-law, but he's part of family, so I'm always kind of stuck with Touchdown, and I think that also helps to create a little bit of chemistry there as we have, because we're family, so when you got the same blood running through your veins, it's easy to come up with chemistry and work together, even if he could be, you know, a little bit of a nudge at times, a little bit of a pita, if you will. But I love him, and I love working with him, and I'll wrestle with him forever if I have the chance to. Icarus, we formed the trios last year about this time with Icarus, headed into King of Trios. At the time, we were the Golden Trio. We all had titles, and we looked fancy with our titles, and now, of course, we've lost them all. But Icarus is a heck of a fighter. He's the man who puts Carr on his back and brought the company back when everyone else kind of thought it was dead. But he's a great guy to have on the team. If you're paying attention to the draft a few months ago, the fact that I got him in the second round of the team, he was the grand champion. He was lingering there in the second round, I thought, the deal of the draft. And to make things even worse, I picked up the Young Lions Cup champion in the third round. I don't know what these people were picking. They were picking ice creams in the first round, and I don't know what they were thinking. But I got the grand champion in the second round and the Young Lions Cup champion in the third round. And that's kind of how my team was formed. I just picked the best available wrestlers at the time, and luckily they happened to all be people I really liked.
That I would imagine that helps out with the team dynamic when you actually get along with and like your teammates. And you guys are heading into the next event, Storming the Castle, which is coming up later this month in July, taking on the Gentlemen's Club led by Chuck Taylor. He's with Orange Cassidy, Drew Gulak, and Swamp Monster. Now, how does one prepare for a battle with a Swamp Monster?
Some matchups I think it's better to not prepare. Like, I feel like you're going to spend all this effort and time and brain energy thinking and preparing to get into a ring with a guy when you really have no idea what he's going to do. So some of them it's just best to kind of stick to your normal routine, go about your normal day, get your workouts in, and other than that, you just get in the ring and the bell rings and you kind of just pray for the best, I believe. How do you prepare for a matchup with a Swamp Monster? I don't know. Maybe you know. Maybe you tell me.
You may need to bring a weed whacker. I've seen him in action before. He is quite the monster. I guess the word really does apply there.
If that would be a foreign object, and I would be disqualified.
Good point.
Otherwise, that's a pretty good idea.
You and, as we mentioned, you and Mr. Touchdown, of course, are the team of the throwbacks, and you have adopted. You are one of the many masked wrestlers on the Chikara roster, and you've kind of adopted a baseball theme. Tell me about your love of the game.
I grew up playing baseball, loving baseball. So just the fans actually were the ones who gave me that identity at Tasher Hatfield back in 2009. I've gone through many transformations thanks to the fans, and when Tasher Hatfield came about, the fans loved him, and I loved him, and he stuck around. But yeah, I've loved baseball since I was a small lad. I've always played many positions. Been watching baseball, love baseball. So it's a perfect fit for myself.
And now when Sugar Dunkerton was around, he had the basketball.
Oh, Sugar.
Yeah, he had the basketball thing down pretty good too. What was the transition like? Because you've been the constant with the throwbacks, and then of course Touchdown came in with the football, and obviously a different style than what Sugar Dunkerton had. How was that transition from going from one successful version of the throwbacks to another?
Can you ask me one more time? I think I was losing you there.
Oh, yeah, sure. What I was asking was, you and Sugar Dunkerton, of course, were the throwbacks originally, and then Mr. Touchdown came in. What was it like transitioning, because they obviously both have different styles, so what was it like transitioning from one successful version of throwbacks to another?
In many ways, it's actually very similar. I've never met either of them. They're both, I don't know how to word it nicely, but they're very over-the-top personalities and over-the-top characters. So just trying to get either of them to kind of tone it down and focus on the match is a very difficult task with either of the fellows there. But Sugar was more of a kind of an even playing field to where when we started tagging, he was a veteran of the game. He didn't need much guidance from me. Just maybe wise him up to some of the fellows around Chikara because I'd been there longer. But other than that, Sugar kind of came in and just ran with it. Touchdown came in brand new. He's new to the wrestling game, so it's almost like a, I don't want to say father, but an uncle to a nephew advice kind of thing we had going on there, to where I kind of had to guide him along. And it didn't take much, because once the kid caught in the ring, he was like a duck out of water. He got in there, he did his thing, he was young line champion before you know it. And nowadays he's giving me advice. Great kid, he works very hard, amazing talent.
Yeah, he is great. And the other thing I was going to say about Chikara Pro and independent wrestling, because I think it's important to support indie wrestling, I've been to, I think now, probably 3 or 4 Chikara shows in person. And what I love about it is the interaction with the athletes, the men and women who are in the ring. They're then manning their tables, selling their merchandise and whatnot after their matches, before their matches. They're willing to talk and take pictures and mingle and shake hands with the fans. You get access to these athletes that you don't get at a, larger scale sports entertainment style show. So I appreciate what you guys do, not only inside the ring, but outside of the ring. The respect that the fans have for you seems to be reciprocated.
Absolutely. I feel, at least myself, I don't always speak for other people on the roster, but I have a great respect for the fans who come to Chikara shows. Because everyone who comes to a Chikara show comes to just have a good time. No one comes to sit and nitpick and yell inappropriate things. Everyone comes to be a part of the show and enjoy the show, forget about their day-to-day life, and just really enjoy themselves. So as a wrestler myself, I try to give as much of that back as I can. If it takes me a couple extra minutes to stop and shake hands or have conversations or give a hug or do whatever, like, to me, that's the respect I give back to what I believe is a very transitional world. We get to bring that ring and just absolutely have a blast and have a great time. And it's thanks to the wonderful people who come to our show.
Absolutely. And like I said, the fans, you mentioned it too, the fans are respectful, and there's not that negativity that you find at a lot of other shows that I've been to. I feel like everybody is there to enjoy the show and not criticize and critique it. So Chikara fans are great fans. And if you haven't discovered Chikara Pro yet, I highly recommend it. Check out chikarapro.com. They list all of the roster. You can find out more about the Challenge of the Immortals and find out upcoming events. We mentioned Storming the Castle, which is July 25th in South Windsor, Connecticut, as well as the next night, the Immaculate Election, which is in Providence. You guys stay mostly up in that, the northeast quadrant of the country, but we've seen you come down to Indianapolis. I know you were in Indianapolis, Indiana recently, Chicago, Illinois. I would love to see you guys hit St. Louis or even a little bit further south one of these days. What's it like traveling with Chikara Pro?
Traveling in Chikara is a lot of fun. Get to sleep in the car a lot, which is kind of uncomfortable. Other than that, it's a lot of fun. It's a whole company of guys, but the majority of them I've become great friends with. So we all get to go in the car and travel the country and see things and come up with great stories. And we've seen the ghost storm. That's pretty amazing. I was with the Batiri fella. Like, they're kind of ghosts themselves, but we're all driving. It might have been that it was about 4 in the morning and we hadn't slept in a while. But we all saw it. It was a little girl. She was wearing a dress. She was walking along the side of the road. It was very spooky. And then we turned around because we were like, no way. We got to get that little girl. She shouldn't be walking in the road at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, we turned around and she was gone.
Wow.
It was very spooky. Other than that, travel with these guys is great. Everything's super well organized. We just have a good time. I look forward to it every month.
And do you find the schedule a little bit more conducive to family life and whatnot? Because I know, some companies, they're on the road, 250, 300 days a year. Chikara's schedule seems a little bit more spread out. And there's even a little bit of a season finale, if you will, and you guys do get a little break to rest and recuperate.
Yes. Oh, I love it. And myself, anyways, I'm a family man. A wife and child at home, so it's great to just leave on occasion, but be home most of the time.
That's awesome. Now, the other...
Otherwise, I'd be really sad, I think, if I was gone 250 days a year and didn't get to see the missus and junior.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be a rough life to live, but one of the other big events that Chikara probably, I guess it might be safe to say this is kind of the premier event for Chikara, is the upcoming King of Trios, which is in September. It's a 3-night event, and it's a lot of six swamp monsters and all kinds of different beasts and whatnot as well. But it's a great trio of of nights of great action. And the other thing about it too is the interaction that you guys get with the fan conclave. But talk about King of Trios, maybe kind of for fans who don't know what it's about, explain what it is, and then talk about some of your personal experiences with it.
If you've never heard of King of Trios before, King of Trios is a 16, I think it's maybe even 32 teams. There's a lot of teams. I think maybe 16. So 32? 32, 16. There's a lot of teams. I want to say 16 teams. 32 would be insane. What's 32 times 3? 96. That's way too many. 16 teams. 16 teams. Teams of three from all around the world. This year is actually very peculiar because they've only announced 5 teams thus far, and none of the teams they've announced are homegrown Shakar teams. We have a Bullet Club team with AJ Styles and the Young Bucks. We have 2 teams coming from England. We have a team coming from Mexico. And then they just announced the Blue World Order, of all things. Stevie Richards, or I'm sorry, Big Stevie Cool. It's the Blue Guy, and it's Hollywood Nova. So the Blue World Order will make a presence known at King of Trios this year. And I literally just drove past the Charles Friend Community Center in Palmer where King of Trios takes place. This September. But Trios is absolutely amazing. If you're not in the 6-man tag, then a lot of other things happen throughout that night. Starting night 2, when a lot of the teams are eliminated, they'll begin the Rey de Voladores tournament, which is like a little mini tournament to find out who the King of Flyers is, which is always absolutely amazing. A few years back, there's a match between El Generico, who's now Mexico's Steven Orton, and the 1-2-3 Kid, which was absolutely one of the greatest wrestling matches to ever take place in any ring ever. That took place at the Rey de Voladores during King Trios weekend a few years back. There'll be other singles matches and tag matches that break down as a lot of the members of the 16 teams get eliminated. They kind of just mix and match and make the greatest matches you could come up with between those guys. There's a Sugar Dunkerton-Tatanka match a few years ago that happened. Lots of craziness happens King Trios weekend. And you mentioned the fan conclave, which takes place Saturday afternoon, which is separate than any of the wrestling events. It's just the fans come in, and I know they limit the number of tickets. I want to say maybe 200 or 300 tickets they sell for that. And it's just all fan interaction between the wrestlers and the fans. It's everything from high school picture-taking prom set-up kind of thing to a talent show to video games to we've had comedy shows. I don't know. You name it may happen there.
Now
the dizzy bat spinning race.
I've got a couple of friends who have been to not only Trios but to the fan conclave, and they had a blast attending it. And I'm looking at previous years of the tournament, and last year you were part of the Golden Trio with Icarus and of course Mr. Touchdown. And in the past, you've teamed with Sugar and Matt Classic as the throwbacks. Do you have a? Do you know yet, or can you talk about it? Are you? I would assume without the throwbacks, it's not a legitimate King of Trios tournament, in my opinion. But do you know yet? Are you guys planning to be a part of that?
I'm planning to be a part of it, but that Mikey Quackenbush, he doesn't tell anybody nothing until it's time for you to know it. I love that man, but when he became my director of fun, I'm like, I'm not going to know anything until the last minute. He doesn't tell you anything, so you need to know. But we haven't been told yet whether we're in. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, because last year we made it all the way to the final and just came up a little bit short. But I'd really love the chance to go in there and make it that one extra step and become the King of Trios. That'd be absolutely wonderful. But it's really up to Mr. Quackenbush, and if he wants us in, we'll be there. I'll take any combination of us. Me, Touchdown, Icarus. Me, Touchdown, Heidi. Me, Heidi, Icarus. It doesn't matter. I'll team up with two guys that help my guys to be in.
That's great, and you mentioned that the Blue World Order is, of course, a part of this year's tournament, and I know in the past, Chikara has brought in teams like the Spirit Squad, and I think Demolition and the One Man Gang were a part of it 1 year, and the Powers of Pain and Ming. We've seen some, you know, former WWE or WCW superstars and competitors as a part of this. Does it bother you at all that they bring in other talents for this tournament that has become so synonymous with Chikara Pro?
Absolutely not, just because if they bring that talent in, then by all means I have a chance to wrestle them, and I'd absolutely love that. Even if I'm not in the tournament, like I said, as some of these teams are eliminated, singles matches and tag matches are created, but I have a chance to evolve. I have a chance to get in and wrestle the Blue World Order, and the Bullet Club would be amazing. while these towns come in. Hey, when we're in the back of the locker room, we have a lot of dead time over the 3 days. So it's a really good chance for, you know, a wrestler like myself to sit down with a Sean Waltman or an AJ Styles and just ask questions and learn as much as I can. So when these guys come around, it's a great opportunity for everybody, whether they get to wrestle or not.
Kind of sit under that learning tree and take it all in. Is there, do you have a prep?
As I mentioned, the fans love the variety of guys who come for King of Trios. King of Trios is literally a collection of the greatest wrestlers from anywhere in the whole world, from any time period. We've had wrestlers who I think in their 60s come and wrestle in King of Trios, down to guys who are probably barely 18.
That's what I like about it too, is the variety of men and women who do make it to this tournament, and it's such a fun event and a great event to watch. And one of these days, I'm going to make the trip out there and see it live and in person. Do you like wrestling better as a tag team competitor? I know you've had some success on your own in singles competition, but it seems like whether it's been with Sugar Dunkerton or with your current partner, Mr. Touchdown, you've always been a good tag team wrestler. I mean that as a compliment. Do you have a preference to individual versus tag team wrestling?
Wrestling for the most part, but if I had to pick, I love wrestling with Touchdown. Maybe just because the family aspect of it, or it's just a lot of fun. Because when they get Touchdown all fired up, which is always interesting. But tag team wrestling to me is just a little more fun. You have more people involved. Take a whole different aspect to the show. Give you more tools to play with, more options. And when you get really, really tired, you can tag out and take a little break. That's always nice.
Yes, it is.
In that singles match, and a guy's laying a good licking on you, you got nowhere to go.
That can be troublesome, I would imagine. So tell me, who would be your favorite opponent? What was your favorite match that you yourself have been a participant in?
My favorite match that I've ever had was probably a match I had in Easton in the Palmer Funplex not too long ago, maybe about 4 years ago actually now, with Brody Lee, who's off to bigger and better things. But one of my favorite matches, because at the time, he could use the big boot as his finishing maneuver there, and I've seen it lay many guys out before me. So I kind of used my brain and came up with the strategy that if I get the opportunity to pull his boot off, I figured if he couldn't kick me in the face with his boot, that wouldn't hurt as much. And my plan worked out. It was probably the biggest singles win I've ever had in my career, even to date. I ended up getting the boot off, and he kicked me in the face with a sock, and at 2 9/10, I had the big kick out there, because if he had that boot on, I was done. But the sock obviously a little bit softer than the boot.
If you could face anyone, past or present, like, who would your dream opponent be?
My dream opponent, honestly, would be Kurt Angle, I think. Just because I've never seen anyone wrestle with more intensity than Kurt Angle. So I'd love to get in the ring with him. At the intensity level to go Kurt Angle, and then slightly below him would be Mr. Touchdown, as far as intensity levels go. But I'd love to wrestle Kurt Angle. I've always been a big fan of his. If you've ever read his book, the stuff that man did to help get ready for the Olympics, absolutely sounds dreadful, but amazing, and hats off to him for doing it. So I imagine after putting himself through the things he has, if I could beat him, I could beat anyone in the world.
Yeah, he is great. Now, have you ever wrestled Mr. Touchdown? Do you think that's a possibility down the road?
I'm 1-0 in singles competition against Mr. Touchdown. Back at a Wrestling It's Fun show, we wrestled about 2 years ago now, and I defeated Mr. Touchdown. And then while we were in England, we did a six-man tag where the three tag teams were split up. So it was myself and a member of NFG and not Obarion, Kodama was on my team. And then it was Touchdown and the other NFG and Obarion. And we won that one as well. So I'm 2-0 against Mr. Touchdown for today.
That's awesome.
We were in another eight-man that was split up that same way. But Rex Remsburg shot a bunch of people with an imaginary gun, and then he kind of turned into the Undertaker and hit Tombstone, and somehow he won the match. I hope he won that one. That doesn't count.
Well, you have a lot of ways of interacting with fans, one of which I'm on your Twitter page right now. It's at Mr. Hatfield 4 on Twitter. What other ways can fans get in touch with you if they'd like to?
All the normal ways. There you got your Twitter, your Facebook, just search Dasher Hatfield. I'm on there too. I have a website, which is just DasherHatfield.com. Very simple. I got a big cartel store, which is a place I just sell my t-shirts if you're interested.
Alrighty, well, continued success to you. Good luck at the upcoming shows and in the Challenge of the Immortals, storming the cast.
That would be the biggest way to interact with me. Come to the show. Come yeah. up and say hi. Come say hello. I'll give you a handshake or a high five or a hug. Any of those. Yeah, come talk to me. Be my friend.
Absolutely, and I do. I'm looking forward to you guys coming back to the Midwest. I know you were just here, and the next go around, I am going to make every effort to be there because it is such an experience, and it's a family friendly atmosphere. These men and women.
I believe October we'll be back out there.
Really? Okay. Well, I am going to put it on my calendar and keep an eye out for that. And continued success to not just you, but also your teammates, Mr. Touchdown Icarus and Heidi and. Good luck against the Gentlemen's Club at Storming the Castle, and I hope to see you guys on the card for the King of Trios as well.
Me too. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, brother. Thanks for having me here today.
Uh-huh. Have a great day.
Hey, you too, my friend.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Okay, fans, there he is, Mr. Hatfield himself. Again, his website, DasherHatfield.com. You can also check out his merchandise, DasherHatfield.BigCartel.com, and he's got, I'm looking at it right now, he's got some t-shirts and baseballs and tank tops, as well as some other cool items. So check him out there. Also, I want to remind you, check out ChikaraPro.com or at ChikaraPro on Twitter. These guys, they're the real deal. I know Chad and I talk about it a lot. Chad talks about it a lot more than I do, but I can't emphasize enough the talent that is on this roster. So I hope that you guys have a great week ahead. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to also check out the Amazon links on the jitterymonkey.com page or at my123cents.com. And also, don't forget to subscribe and rate this show. You can do it at iTunes. Give us a review. Let us know what you think. If you hate the show, let us know. If you love the show, let us know that too. I'd rather hear that you love it, but you know what? I have thick skin. I can handle any kind of criticism that comes my way. But anyway, I want to thank you again for being a part of the My123Cents experience. This podcast, I do it for you guys. I do it for myself too because I like it, but I hope to hear more from everyone out there who does take the time to listen. Thanks again for sharing and listening.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.